Hello, and welcome to episode 97 of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. We're here today with Seth Goldman, founder of Honest Tea and executive chairman of Beyond Me. Seth, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Jordan. Good to be with you.
Great. So the first question I'd like to ask you is, what are you currently doing or what have you ever done to advance the public interest and why?
Well, I'd like to think quite a bit. I launched Honest Tea 19 years ago, and it has now become the nation's top-selling organic bottled tea. And so we sell organic beverages that are lowering calories and to both adults and to children, because we have a line called Honest Kids. And so we're working to improve the health of the American diet. We're working to improve environmental conditions in the developing world and also to support fair trade working conditions. And then with Beyond Meat, we are launching a line of plant-based protein products. And so our goal there is to have every American family have at least one more plant-based meal per week. And if we can do that, we know we'll also have a very positive impact on their diets and certainly on the environmental impact of the way protein is produced around the globe.
Sounds like you have had quite an interesting path. And I know that you weren't always interested in improving the American diet and environment and fair trade, at least professionally. You began in a different career path. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was a government major in college, and so I thought I would probably take more of a political path. And while working on Capitol Hill, we certainly got involved in some initiatives around the environment. But what I enjoy about the work with Honest Tea and Beyond Meat is it's a much more direct impact. We make products that people put that people consume on a daily basis, and so we're able to see the impact we have through the production of our products as well as the consumption.
So how is it that you began to develop an interest in improving the diet of Americans?
Well, it started with actually a personal dietary need where I was thirsty and after a run one day said, you know, there's just the only drinks in the cooler are these very sweet drinks that don't appeal to me, both either from a dietary perspective or from a, you know, just appetite perspective. And, of course, recognize that if there was both a demand for this kind of drink, there could also be a need and a benefit if we could bring these products to a wider audience. And so that was what got me excited about launching Honest Tea. And
so,
it's been fun to see it expand.
It seems like many of our listeners may at some point in their lives have thought, wow, you know, there just isn't something that I want, or I'm really craving something and I don't have it. But not all of them go on to found multimillion dollar international organizations. You know, what's the link between, I know you started in, you were getting your MBA in business school. I mean, but even so, there are a lot of students in business school who have an idea and there's, you know, there's a lot that happens between, you know, seeing a need in the market and actually finding this kind of success and having the impact on public health and the environment. What happened there? How come your story is so unique?
Well, you know, it's part of a convergence of several things. So number one, there was just the personal need. It felt that there was something missing from a dietary perspective, but I was also at a place in my life where I felt like I was ready to do something about it. I had worked enough in business and in entrepreneurial pursuits that I was kind of looking for the right opportunity. So you connect an opportunity with a personal desire to get involved in it. And then, you know, against the much bigger backdrop, and I didn't know it at the time, of course, but this is where society was headed. We were, you know, the average calorie profile when we started Honest Tea back in 1998, the average calorie of bottled teas was 100 calories per 8-ounce serving. And so if you look now today, it's much lower. It's probably closer to 60 or 70. And while I certainly didn't foresee at the time that was going to happen, it was you know, smart to recognize, to believe that there could be an opportunity to help take people in a healthier direction if you gave them the right product. And so you know, we were, I guess, fortunate we both helped create some of that demand, but also were able to take advantage of it too.
So it sounds like you're a little bit ahead of the curve in reducing sugar intake. Why is it that sugar poses a problem?
We were a lot ahead of the curve, by the way. You go back to 1998, and when everything else was at 100 calories, to be out there at 17 calories per 8 ounces was, we were, you know, that's called the painfully ahead of the curve.
Well, painfully, talk a little bit about that. Was it difficult to present a new product when people could have just picked up a Snapple? And did consumers, how did they react initially?
Well, we did well in a core channel, primarily the Whole Foods, Natural Foods channel, where there were consumers who were seeking out these products. The challenge was when we tried to expand beyond Whole Foods, there just wasn't any interest in these. We would go to convenience channels or some restaurants, and it just didn't do that well. And so, you know, that was what they call the bleeding edge as opposed to the leading edge. So, you know, that was hard, but it was the right positioning. We ended up making our drinks, I would say, slightly sweeter, what we call just a tad sweet, but still dramatically less sweet than what else was out there. And the easy way to grow a business back then would have just made everything sweeter, but in the long term, we wouldn't have been creating anything that was differentiated from the competition. And in the long term, you have to think about building something that's going to be sustainably different. And you know, still today, Honest Tea stands for drinks that are just a tad sweet, and that positions us, gives us a unique position in the market, which is where most consumers are gravitating.
So can you take a moment, because you are differentiating your product based on, at least in this conversation so far, on a difference in the amount of sugar. Can you take a moment to just say why having sugar in drinks is a problem and why you might want to reduce sugar intake?
Well, you know, I would say, having a less sweet taste profile is just one of our points of difference. Really, now organic is at least as critical. Meaning, everything we sell is organic. We also now sell drinks that are, all of our teas are fair trade certified, and that too is a fundamentally different point of difference compared to the competition. So, it started with less sweet, and that was made sense. And still does, but you know, it's a whole proposition. It's not just, we're not a one-dimensional product.
Right.
And so we think about this convergence of health and environmental and social consciousness. We're really at the convergence of all those points.
So why does it matter? So why did you choose organic and why fair trade? What value does that present to the world? Why
so
did
as
you
we
want
started
it?
To learn more about the way tea was grown. And I went to visit tea gardens to, you know, physically see how they were processed. I saw a few things. Number one, tea leaves are one of the few agricultural products that are never rinsed. So unlike an apple or a tomato, if I, you know, pick it in a field and if chemicals are sprayed on it, pesticides or herbicides, I could take those home and rinse those off and wash those chemicals off. But with tea leaves, if there's chemicals sprayed on those leaves, the chemicals aren't rinsed off until hot water is poured on the leaves to brew the tea. And so that would basically be washing those pesticides into the cup of tea I'd be drinking.
And just for our listeners who may not be experts in tea, the reason why you wouldn't rinse off the tea leaves prior to brewing the tea as you would a tomato is because you would lose some of the tea flavor?
It's also just the way tea leaves are dried once they're picked. And so if you would rinse them, then the drying, you'd create mold. It would create a lot of other issues. So that became an important piece. And then, of course, we also saw the working conditions of the people in the tea gardens, and they're literally up to their armpits in the tea bushes. And, of course, if any chemicals are spread on those leaves, they're inhaling those chemicals as they pick these leaves, you know, year over year. So we felt that for both an environmental perspective as well as a health perspective, it was better for these communities to not have the, if we can help them avoid the use of chemical pesticides, that's a better long-term thing for those ecosystems. And then, of course, with fair trade, we recognize tea is one of the world's most cost-affordable commodities, and so we didn't feel it was appropriate for a company that calls itself Honest Tea to sell a product, you know, at a competitive price in the marketplace here in the United States, and do it in a way that doesn't invest back in these communities, which are very You know, by definition, tea is grown in poorer countries because it's a very labor-intensive crop. It's these are usually quite hot climates and in rural areas, so there's just not a level of economic development. So we said, let's find a way to reinvest in these communities to create wealth in these communities based on the commerce that we have with them. And so what fair trade does is, number one, make sure the working conditions meet international labor standards. There's no child or prison labor. There's a certain number of working hours that the people can work. But then also a portion of the proceeds from every ton of tea leaves that we buy goes back to these communities for them to reinvest in whether it's in healthcare or education or other opportunities for these communities to develop themselves. And we've seen some wonderful things. One project we just did in the past year was actually bring eye care to these communities. So you're dealing with a lot of rural communities that don't have access to medical eye care, and we brought a team of opticians and trained eye care workers to these communities, and were able to help prescribe glasses for some, cataract treatment for others, and of course, you know, being able to see is connected to literacy, but it's also connected to being able to pick tea leaves well. So, you know, call it a self-interested investment, but it was something the community really appreciated that they just weren't going to have access to otherwise.
So there's a trend around the country now with something called a benefit corporation, where there is a corporation that prioritizes profit but also says it's important to give back to the world. Would you consider yourself to be such an organization, for starters? And it sounds like the impact that you're having in communities around the world definitely is altruistic to some extent. Would you say you're part of it?
We certainly do have benefit. You know, to we think about the benefits to our communities as we operate our business. We are not formally a benefit B Corp, but what we do, and I think is critical, is we have established the values of our brand into the, we call it brewed into the mission is brewed into the product, so that organic is a third party verified seal. The fair trade is also a third party verified seal, and I think those are. It's especially important to be able to have third-party verifications of any claims. We know, of course, Honesty Now being owned by the Coca-Cola company, that it's natural for consumers to have some concern about a large company being involved. And so we felt and continue to believe it's critical to have all of any claims we make be verified by a third party.
So you mentioned the sale of Honesty to Coca-Cola. And you also obviously have the name of the brand, which is Honest Tea. Can you take a moment to talk about the role, about the importance of integrity to you and your product, and what that how that affects a relationship between your product and consumers?
Sure. Well, it's critical. You know, here, obviously, with a name like Honest Tea, you better be extremely careful. And one of the things I like to say is the only way to really be honest is to underpromise, you know. So we'll never try to go out and claim something we can't back up. We're not going to say this product's good for you unless we can show you the health benefits or obviously the nutritional panel. We're not going to say it's better for the environment, but we will look to get the USDA organic certification, which is a third-party way to verify the conditions under which this product is grown. And so those things are critical. It's really a transparency is such a underpinning of our brand, and consumers really have a very intimate relationships with brands these days. I remember one of our early board members was Jeff Swartz, the CEO of Timberland, and I was walking with him in Bethesda one day, and he was saying, think how we actually walked by somebody wearing a Timberland shirt, and he said, think about that. He says, that person is willing to take my product and put it on their body. He says, what could be more intimate than that? And I realized what could be more intimate was that people take Honest Tea and put it in their bodies. And so they've got to have a sense of trust. And so for us, we take it extremely seriously. We every element of the way we run our business really strives for that transparency. We still disclose, you know, what our sales are, how every year we put out a mission report that talks about our sourcing practices. We talk about our failures, where our shortcomings as a company, or where we have more work to do. because we want consumers to understand we don't put ourselves on a pedestal. We put ourselves under a microscope.
And you also came out with a graphic novel book that describes the entire process that you went through from conception to production and to your I think that even the sale to Coca-Cola, where you told the entire story, and you involved some feedback from individuals who were perplexed about the sale to Coca-Cola. Can you talk about some of the challenges you've had in maintaining this vision of being honest with honest tea, and how you've addressed concerns, especially with that corporate decision to sell to get access to larger distribution models of Coke?
Sure, yeah. The book was called Mission in a Bottle, and it's been a lot of fun to share. We wanted to help especially entrepreneurs and others who are interested in taking an idea and bringing it to life, how we did it. And, yeah, we do talk about the whole experience with Coca-Cola. And at the time, you know, I could say we weren't sure it was the right decision, but now we're 8 years since Coke's investment, and it's very clear that the level of our impact as a company has taken an inflection step, so that, you know, when Coke first invested, we were in about 15,000 stores. Today, we're in over 125,000 stores. We look at our sourcing practices, where we were buying about 800,000 pounds of organic ingredients a year. Last year, we bought over 15 million pounds. So we're just in a dramatically larger place in terms of the impact we have, the relevance we have to consumers and to the communities we source from. And so
You're outsourcing your values in a way, and you're allowing Coca-Cola to expand the impact of your values around the world, and therefore to have a more positive impact according to your values in more communities and more lives among more consumers than you otherwise would have.
That's right. And if you think about, I know one of your themes is, you know, change makers and how they act. You know, if I had been an activist 18 years ago and I had led a campaign to try to get Coca-Cola to offer more low-calorie drinks or more organic or more fair trade drinks, I'm not sure that would have gotten much traction, because they would have said, show me why the marketplace would value this. And, you know, what I think we've done by successfully building Honest Tea has shown that this is relevant in the marketplace, and now Coca-Cola does carry more lower-calorie drinks and more organic and fair trade. And I'm actually off to France next week to launch the product over in Europe. So we're seeing, you know, expanded interest in Honest Tea's approach to business, and the growth continues to be exciting for us.
And you're not limiting yourself to tea and the beverage industry. You're now the executive chairman of Beyond Meat. Why does vegetarianism, or moving away from a carnivorous lifestyle, something that should be important to Americans or individuals living elsewhere, and why is that healthy, and why would it help the environment?
Well, you can look at the trajectory of the population growth in the world and the environmental footprint of animal-based protein. And at a certain point, or actually the lines are quickly going across, where the planet is not capable of supporting 7 billion people existing on animal-based protein. But, of course, you know, if population growth continues, people are going to need protein. So our point of view is, let's create more choice. We believe people should and will need to continue to consume meat, but let's change the definition of what meat is. It doesn't, historically people have thought of meat as protein that comes from animals. What we are doing at Beyond Meat is taking the essential components of meat, which are the proteins, the amino acids, and the fats, the lipids, and some of the carbohydrates and minerals. And what we're doing at Beyond Meat is taking those components, all of which exist in the plant kingdom, and putting them together in a way that perfectly replicates the taste, texture, and sensory satisfactions of animal-based protein. And so we have just launched a burger called the Beyond Burger, which is carried in over 200 Whole Foods stores, all the stores in the Mid-Atlantic, by the way, carry this product. And it's carried in the meat section, so that we're now bringing this product not just to vegetarians, we're bringing it to anybody who is looking, you know, for a satisfying protein meal. And this, if we do this right, could have huge impact on helping more people have more plant-based diets.
So as we approach the end of this podcast, I'd like to ask you to get more back to the topic of Seth Goldman and your approach, your value system about caring about diet and the environment and fair trade and having a positive impact on the world. Why is it, where do you really get your motivation from? Why is it, how is it that you became so impassioned about trying to have a positive impact on the lives of others, on improving the environment for everyone, on addressing American obesity, on improving labor practices in the developing world? Why is it that all these issues have become of increasing importance to you in your life, such that you've dedicated much of the mission of your products to improving the state of the world for other people?
Well, there's a really serious need. Among the most depressing statistics I've come across in the past few years is that the United States ranks 40th in the world in terms of average life expectancy. So here you have, you know, about 200 countries in the world, and the U.S. is the wealthiest nation in the history of the world. We have more knowledge of science, medicine, and nutrition than any civilization in history has ever had, but we're 40th in terms of life expectancy. And from my point of view, that is, at the very least, a lost opportunity. You could go on and talk about how it's inexcusable and just shameful, which I think it is as well. But I believe there's no reason that our country has to have such dismal statistics. And so what a great opportunity as an investor, as a business perspective, what a great opportunity to change that ranking. You know, if anything, you're buying low. You've got such a – it's not that it's easy, but it's such a clear opportunity to take the world – you know, people literally not living up to their potential and help them do that. And so for me, when we can do it in a way that helps create community wealth in communities that lack access to it, or we can help do it in a way that coincides with positive environmental impact as well, I can't imagine doing anything else that could be as satisfying or meaningful. And so, you know, we started off talking about I had this interest in politics or the public arena, the public sector, and I feel like the work we're doing is very much focused on our public impact. It's just done through the private sector.
So the final question before we conclude this podcast, you've been working to advance the public interest through the private sector. You said that had you gone to Coca-Cola as an advocate, you may not have been as successful as you have been in showing them that actually improving the world can be a pathway to profitability. Can you talk for a moment about what you hope your legacy will be at the end of your career, whenever that may come? What sort of impact do you hope you will have had on the world? What will be your legacy that you leave behind, whether it be in politics or in the public policy arena or just in the private sector arena, in the retail industry? What generally is the ethos or the legacy that you hope will result from Seth Goldman having been in this world?
Well, you know, I the first thought, of course, is more personally the family that my wife and I have created. We have three wonderful sons who are very on their way to having an impact on the communities they live in and work with, and obviously creating loving and meaningful relationships with each other and the rest of my family. So that's a more immediate thought, but certainly going back to that, what we talked about around the life expectancy of the United States, I'd love to start to think that what we've started at Honest Tea helped demonstrate to the rest of the business community that there was a both an imperative from a mission point of view, but also from a business point of view, to help people lead healthier lives. And so that certainly, you know, can affect their diet, their calorie consumption, but also their plant-based protein consumption. And then, of course, if we do that well, we know there's huge ripples and implications for the sourcing communities, meaning whether they're growing tea leaves or they're growing some of the plants that end up in Beyond Meat, if we can help accelerate the demand for those products, that also can help transform both, you know, economic opportunities for farmers who are growing these plants, but also, you know, significantly change the ecosystems that have previously been impacted by, you know, animal protein.
So that has been Seth Goldman, founder of Honest Tea, executive chairman of Beyond Meat, for whom global impact across many industries can begin with an idea that an original pathway of politics and finance is maybe not ultimately where you need to end up, that life can take many different turns as you seek to have a positive impact, whether it be on the environment, whether it be on consumer habits, creating a healthier world, expanding the American life expectancy, improving fair labor practices in other countries. Seth is someone who finds that advancing the public interest can take many shapes and forms, and that being profitable in the private sector is one way that he has found to make the world a better, healthier, more environmentally sustainable place. So, Seth, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good to be with you, Jordan.
And this has been episode 97 of Public Interest Podcast, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others like Seth who seek to improve the state of the world. Thanks so much for joining us, and we will talk to you next time.